Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Eagles. I'm John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. A busy show today. I want to get right into it. Dane Brugler, NFL Draft Scout, and the Sports Exchange. He'll be joining us in a few minutes, but in the first 5 minutes, I want to get into the schedule with Jeff Eagles.
Yay!
It got released yesterday. And let me say a few things about the schedule. One, it affects people like me a lot more than everybody else because of the travel aspect of this. And there'll be 7 of 8 games where we'll be getting back at midnight or later. It's bad. So for fans, and I had a lot of fans griping last night about the schedule, here's the bottom line, folks. We can analyze and parse this a million different ways. Until you know what these teams actually are going to be and what they're going to do, and when players are healthy and when they're not, we're not going to know if this is a favorable schedule or an unfavorable schedule in the big picture. Last year, if you played the Vikings in the first 5 weeks, you were screwed. If you played the Vikings in the last 5 weeks, you were thrilled because they stunk. Yeah. So it really depends year to year when quarterbacks get hurt, when they're healthy, whether or not this is going to be a favorable schedule. So that's how I'll kick off the conversation.
Well, you can't look at it any other way other than the fact you go by wins and losses from the year before. Then you can say, okay, you know, but I was doing, you know, looking at the schedule and kind of coming up with some of these tidbits and stuff, but the Giants have, on paper, the toughest schedule
and
according to wins and losses and who they, you know, things like that.
And what you're going to see is the AFC West and the NFC East are going to have two of the toughest schedules because those divisions are playing each other. And last year, those teams in those two divisions happened to have pretty good records.
So what I came up here, this is real quickly. I know we got a long show today, but it's – the bye week, the Giants are going to be playing teams 4 times coming off their byes.
Right, and I think
that is very unfavorable.
And that is a fair criticism of the schedule.
I agree with that. Definitely.
That's
okay.
Fair.
And then also, well, Thanksgiving Day game is going to be interesting.
Thanksgiving night game,
yeah, so you'll be home late again there. One thing I do like in the schedule is the back end of it having 3 of the 4 final games against NFC East opponents at home.
I agree.
That is big.
And also funny, you have the Cardinals mixed in there too, so it's the old NFC East
the
final four games.
The one I used to play in.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Right.
And again, for the 3rd straight year, they open against Dallas. I mean, I would have bet on that one.
I was hoping they would change it up. I'm tired of it. And people always ask me, why, John, why? And the answer
ratings is
the networks want it.
Exactly.
Because that's one of the biggest ratings of the year.
Exactly. And then, you know, they have 4 long road trips. I when I was with the Giants, I think it might have been in 2006, I think, or 5. One of those 2 years, we did this schedule. We went out to Arizona, went out to Seattle and San Francisco and Oakland. It's a brutal, brutal schedule. And I know that a lot of people were talking about Coach McAdoo wanted to have back-to-back games out west. Well, guess what, New York Giants? We do what we want to do.
And that was the year that you guys played at Oakland on New Year's Eve, right,
if
I recall?
Yes. Yep, that was a brutal trip. And it is. You know, you're right, John. You're going to get back late, and that's, you know. And then
it
again,
screws up your whole week.
It screws up everything. You know, your preparation for your shows.
Oh, what the heck with me? How about the players and the team? I mean, these guys are going to be tired. It's a mess.
It is. And I think that, you know, this will be a true test for that new system that Coach McAdoo has as far as rest and recovery, things like that. There's going to be a new component to this. The West Coast, the back to East Coast, how things are going to work. But, so this is, again, Week 8, the bye. That's 3 of the last 4 years the Giants have had a bye week at 8. I like Week 8. I really would have liked Week 9 or 10. I think that gives you a little bit more positioning, especially going into that back into the schedule.
I agree with that.
And, you know, as a whole, as far as the schedule, look at, there's 10 teams this year going off the U.S. soil. You got 4 games in London and a game in
Mexico
again. So those are just my take on the schedule for overall the Giants, and Coach McAdoo summed it up perfectly. The only one that matters right now is against Dallas.
A couple notes from me. I think a good bellwether is the first 7 games up until that bye. There's not one easy game in that group. I know people say, oh, the Chargers aren't any good, but they still have Phillip Rivers as our quarterback. So to me, those first 7 games, not one of those games is easy. They're all tough games. They're all good football teams. So it's a good bellwether. The only soft landing point are the Rams and Niners in back-to-back weeks after the bye.
Yep.
I think you can pick up a couple wins there, much like last year when you had the Browns, Bengals, and Bears coming off the bye week. And then, look, your final 7 games on the schedule are all against either division teams or teams that probably believe they have a chance to be in the playoffs.
Well, you
the
know,
Chiefs,
Oakland.
Washington
definitely.
Twice, yeah. Oakland, Dallas and Arizona. Arizona's probably the team least likely to be in the playoffs there.
Yeah.
But every other team was either in the playoffs last year or probably thinks they have a chance to be in the playoffs this year or is a division team. So your first seven and your last seven, it's going to be pedal to the metal, fight for your survival here, Jeff.
No question. And again, like I said, your saving grace is a little bit, the Giants were 7-1 at home last year. So if they can continue that streak, you know, they come to the end of the season and have those four home games, that'll help. It's three out of the last four at home, actually, right at the beginning of December. I'll tell you what.
And back-to-back games against Dallas and Philly, by the way.
Yeah. And then, listen, Oakland is not going to be an easy game. I look at Kansas City as a home game. That's not going to be an easy game. And then you're right. Until the bye week, you got Seattle, Denver, the Chargers, Tampa Bay, who's improving. Philadelphia is improving. Detroit's a playoff team. I mean,
yeah, not easy. And by the way, only 6 1 o'clock games on the schedule. That's the last note I'll make. Usually you'll get 10 or 11, 9 or 10 on the schedule. Only 6 because you have all those West Coast teams. And the Giants play at Tampa at 4 o'clock too. So
that's what you get when you are 11-5.
Correct. Only 4 primetime games though. So I would expect the Giants to get flexed to another primetime game before the year is out. Anyway, we have our guest, Jeff. Let's get to him. And if you're watching on Twitter, thanks so much for joining us. If you want to continue to watch the show, including our interview with Dane Brugler, go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app right now. All right, and now we're joined by Dane Brugler, NFL Draft Scout, the Sports Exchange, and I'm holding up your draft guide right now, Dane. It's one of my go-to books every draft season. It's also one of the more affordable draft guides that you can get each and every season. It's comprehensive. Dane, how are you? It's good to talk to you. We've been seeing you since the Combine. Are you looking forward to this draft process to being over in a week?
Well, you know, it's been such a fun ride. It always is. And really, I think this is the part of the process that I dislike the most,
the
final week, because there's so much, you know, the hay's in the barn. All the work is done, and now we hear all the crazy rumors and, different things being thrown out there. So, I appreciate what you said about the book, and it's something that the feedback's been great. But, I can't wait till next Thursday where we can actually start talking about not who's going where, but how this player is going to fit with this team.
Well, Dane, before we get to it, why don't you tell people how they can go out and get your draft guide, how much it costs, and all that other good stuff?
It's under $10. Best way is on my Twitter, at DP Brugler. I have it pinned at the top. And basically, if you're interested in the NFL draft and, you know, any of these players, I think this is the draft guide you need to have. There's more detail in this book than anything I've seen out there. It's something that I take a lot of pride in, not just the round one, round two guys, but in round 6 and 7, when your team drafts a defensive tackle from Albany State. This draft guide has everything you need to know, from his birth date to how many games he started as a freshman, to, of course, the analysis of what type of player he is. So I appreciate everyone checking it out.
Yeah, Dan, it's great. Each player has a pretty sizable capsule that takes up at least half a page, maybe a third of a page in some cases. They got all the height and weight. You get all the combine numbers. You get all the pro day numbers in there as well. You have all their stats, games started, what positions they started at, which I happen to find particularly useful, especially for these offensive linemen that move around a lot. Then you have a background, strengths, weaknesses, and a summary. So, and it's 200 pages. It's succinct. And I think sometimes these draft guides get too long. It's hard to process all the information.
Nice.
But it's packaged in nice little capsules so people can get a feel for all these prospects.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. That's a perfect way to sum it up. It's something that I've been doing for a lot of years, and proud to say that, you know, I think I've doubled sales every year for the past, you know, 3 or 4 years. And so
nice.
The amount of feedback I'm receiving on it has just been fantastic. And it really is a lot of fun to see people, talk about, you know, their opinions on these players based on what they read in the guide. And it's going to be a great resource, I think, for people to follow on draft night.
So now let's get to this part of the draft process you hate, Dane. What's the biggest load of BS or biggest lie you've heard over the past week that you see and you're like, oh, my God, there's no way this could possibly be true?
Oh, gosh. Leonard Fournette going 2 overall, maybe, or considering they were considering him at 1. I mean, that's not going to happen, especially he's not going 1. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan is not drafting a running back at number 2. That's not happening. But the wild cards are the quarterbacks this year. I mean, like it is every year. And that'll be the storyline of round 1, is where do these quarterbacks end up? I think we're going to see at least one quarterback in the top 10. We've had a top 10 quarterback in 15 of the last 16 NFL drafts, and I think that will continue this year. Mitchell Trubisky, I think, will be the guy. I think Chicago at 3 is a very, very likely possibility. And then if not there, you have the Jets, you have Buffalo, and then, of course, you have a possible trade-up. You know, Cleveland at 12 can move up a couple spots to get him. So I think we'll have at least one top 10 quarterback. And then it's really kind of up in the air with Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. Will they come off the board in the teens, early 20s? How will that work? Arizona at 13, a very likely destination for one of these guys. You know, obviously the Giants have done their work on these quarterbacks. Could, if the right quarterback is there, could they pull the trigger? You can't rule that out. Then you have teams like the Texans who, you know, need their quarterback in the future, possible trade-ups there. So these quarterbacks are really going to be the story of round one.
And it's funny because, you know, at the beginning when we all were starting to talk about these quarterbacks, this was a horrible draft class. And now all of a sudden we're talking about 3 or 4 or maybe 5 quarterbacks getting drafted in the first round. You know, to me, I there's always a quarterback in there every year that everybody seems to think that he is a legitimate first rounder no matter what. But I think that when we talk about movers and shakers, what quarterback, I have my guy in mind, which quarterback has made a little bit more of an impact in the last 2 or 3 weeks in this class? Who's moving up the board faster than you thought they would?
Well, you know, and I think I've been fighting the narrative all along that this is a bad quarterback class. It's not a strong class by any means, but I don't think it's a weak class either. I think it's somewhere in the middle, and it reminds me a lot of 2014 when we had no idea how these quarterbacks were going to come off the board, and then on draft day, Blake Bortles goes 3. Then we have Johnny Manziel going in at 20s. Teddy Bridgewater, a team trades up for him and at the end of the first round. And I think it's going to be similar this year with, you know, I'll have a quarterback go top 10, possibly 3 with Trubisky. And then, you know, Deshaun Watson and Mahomes are kind of up in the air. But Mahomes, to me, is the ultimate wild card of the wild card position because he comes from the Texas Tech offense where he was asked to do things that he won't be asked to do in the NFL. It's just, it's kind of like he's going to have to learn Chinese, how to speak it. It's just a different language. Yeah. And so there's a big jump for him in terms of learning the NFL offense. He's so talented from a physical standpoint, the size, the arm talent, the athleticism. He's a very sharp individual. I'm not saying that he can't do it, but at least with, you know, say, Deshaun Kizer from Notre Dame, everything you want in a quarterback, I have seen him do. There is evidence on tape of him making whole field reads, moving left to right in his progression, floating away from pressure with his eyes downfield, making bucket throws down the field. I've seen him do everything that I want in a quarterback, but with Kizer, there's just no consistency. With Mahomes, there's obviously much more production, much more consistency, but he's doing it in an offense that is very foreign to what he'll have to do in the NFL. So it makes it a tough evaluation. And, you know, I've talking to different teams, you get the sense that they really like Mahomes, but will they like him enough to pull the trigger somewhere in the top 20, top 25? That's the biggest question.
And Dane, I know you're pretty hot, and I've seen a couple of your mock drafts. You're hot on the Giants picking a quarterback at some point in this draft, maybe even in the first round. Who do you think is a good fit for the way the Giants run their offense? And if they don't go first round, where do you think they could go later on in the draft to find somebody that they could groom and, you know, take a flyer on a guy that maybe could be ready to replace Eli in a few years?
Yeah, and I've been kind of doing the Pat Mahomes, the 23 in the first round. You know, I know I've heard from Giants fans they're very split on that possibility. You know, but I think it'd be a good possible fit when you look at a position that he won't be pushed into action from day one. And Pat Mahomes is a player that you don't want to see on the field in 2017, and I would argue you don't want to see him on the field in 2018. So. I think he'd be going to a situation where, you know, that would be the case. And he would have a chance to sit, learn, and really kind of dive into the playbook and what it takes to be an NFL quarterback. So I think that's very much a possibility that we can't rule out. If they don't go quarterback at 23, or maybe their guy is off the board. You know, you look at this draft, and I think all these quarterbacks are going to be overdrafted, just like almost they are almost every year.
Yeah.
You know, Davis Webb, to me, is a fourth-round player. I like Davis Webb quite a bit, but he's being talked about as a top 50 player. Brad Kaya, more of a third, fourth-round player, he's probably going to go higher than that. Same thing with Nathan Peterman from Pitt. I think Nathan Peterman's a player that maybe in the second round could be a possibility for the Giants. Well-versed in a pro-style scheme.
I like him.
I think that you know he's the closest thing to when you talk about being NFL ready. But I think you have a good idea of who he is. There's not much of a projection with Peterman because you already have a good sense of what type of pro that he can be.
Well, with me, you know, coming off the team is 11-5 last year. Offensively, they struggled a lot. Defensively, we know they were one of the best in the business last year. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm looking at those first two rounds as trying to get some players that can actually step in and do something for the team. So a quarterback to me in the first or second round in this year's draft, it wouldn't make sense to me. That's just coming from what I think. But I feel like the Giants offensively at tackle – lineman is their first priority, and secondly, you know, obviously they love their defensive linemen. There's a lot of them in the draft this year. Besides, at 23, if you had to, you know, pick one, do you think they're going to go offense? What do you think the Giants will do at 23?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm working on my final mock draft right now, or, you know, at least kind of mapping it out how I want to.
What number will that be? 6.0 or 9 or what, you know?
I have to do a mock draft every Monday starting in August.
God bless you.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah.
And what goes into that mock draft? Is it just information that you gather on a weekly basis from your sources that say, hey, you know what, we're hearing this, we're hearing that? Is that how these mocks – is that what changes every week? That's what has an influence on how the things change for you? Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. It's never what I think should happen or what I would do. It's just what I think, will happen based on, you know, what I'm hearing from teams.
Sure.
And obviously mock drafts mean nothing until basically April. You know, that after we get past the combine, the pro days, we find out the medical information. Free agency has a big impact, you know, just on team needs.
Yeah.
So, you know, once we get past all of that in March, April, that's when mock draft actually means something. So, yeah, this is the tough week because it's smoke week. You know, it's when we hear all the different rumors and you don't know what to believe, and you kind of have to have your BS meter up to figure out, okay, this is true, this isn't. So, but at 23, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards offensive tackle there. I think that could be this is the type of draft class where it's, you know, we know the strong positions, you know, pass rusher, corner, running back, tight end, safety. But tackle is easily the worst position this year,
sure.
Just in terms of overall depth. And so if you don't get your tackle early, you're going to be out of luck. And so I think at first round at number 23, tackle makes a lot of sense. You look at Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin, Garrett Bowles from Utah, Cam Robinson from Alabama. I think all three will be first round picks. And it'll be interesting to see which ones will be available at 23, because I could see them getting snatched up early in the top 20 just because of simple supply and demand, even though I think they're more late first, early second round guys. So we'll see who's there at 23, but I would lean tackle at this point.
What's your gut, Dane? How many of those three you think will be left when the Giants get there at 23, and who do you think is the most likely guy to be there? I know in my opinion, I would pick Ramczyk and Bowles before I pick Cam Robinson, because I want a guy that I know can handle speed rushers. I don't think Cam Robinson could do that. What's your feel around the league? Or are people going to get enamored by his size, weight, arm length, and all that sort of stuff?
Well, and these are interesting tackles, because you look at Ryan Ramczyk and Garrett Bowles, both are one-year guys.
Yeah.
Ramczyk, one of the most interesting stories in the draft, he started at Division II, and then he quit football, goes to Division III, transfers up to Wisconsin, and just a one-year starter at left tackle, but it was a really good season. And now he has a hip surgery, so we haven't seen him during the pre-draft process. So there's plenty of issues there, but I tell you, the 14 games that he started this year were really impressive, and that's why he's going to be in the first round, as long as the hip's okay. And so to me, Ryan Ramczyk's the best tackle in this class. And then same thing with Garrett Bowles, another guy with a loaded backstory. You know, he's going to be a 25-year-old rookie. He had a lot of issues off the field, you know, drinking and just making a lot of wrong decisions. And he went on a church mission a couple years ago, kind of changed his life around, went to JUCO, and then only one year at Utah, recently got married, recently had a kid, kind of, you know, turned his life around. And so if teams buy into that, who he is as a person, that he's matured, he's older, good chance we see Bowles maybe be the first tackle drafted, just because he's such a great athlete. And obviously that's really the biggest thing for linemen, is, you know, you build him from the ground up. It starts with the feet.
Yeah.
And Garrett Bowles has the feet of a left tackle. So I think Garrett Bowles could be the first guy off the board. Same thing with Ramczyk. And I'm with you with Cam Robinson, because you know, he's a little different because, unlike the other guys, he's a three-year starter. And at Alabama, you know, where he faced Myles Garrett in the SEC, he faced Derek Barnett, he faced some top-tier competition, started every single game the last 3 years at left tackle, 44 straight starts. But, you know, you watch him on tape, and there are some snaps where he looks like a steady, reliable NFL starter, and you see him other snaps, and he looks like a fringe, you know, fringe starter just because he's off balance all the time. He's falling on the ground. There's just a lot of bad snaps on his tape. So, but again, when you're 6'6", 322 pounds, and you can move like he does, those guys don't grow on trees, and so that's why he's going to be snatched up quickly. I think there's a good shot we see Bowles off the board, and then maybe Robinson and Ramchek could be there at 23. That'd be my guess at this point.
And, you know, I'm just looking on whatever mock draft this is on NFL.com. But, you know, the running back position has kind of you've seen that one go a little bit up and down. Dalvin Cook, you know, off the field stuff. Fournette is, you know, Fournette has to fit in a system that's going to use him 20 to 25 times. He's that kind of a back. What about the running back position? Not necessarily so much from the Giants perspective, but as an overall, do you see three, four guys going in the top 20 here? Evan McCaffrey in there, too?
I think we're going to see two in the top 20. I think Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
My top running back. But I think there are plenty of questions about him that are going to push him down to the late first, maybe even to the early second round.
Wow.
And when you look at Dalvin Cook, there are questions about ball security. They had six fumbles last year. There are questions about pass protection. You know, can you leave him on the field in those types of situations? Yeah. And then that doesn't even get to the off the field, the medicals, you know, teams are a little iffy there. And, you know, we're not talking about a pass rusher here. We're talking about a running back where, you know, we know you can find those guys later on. So are you really going to take a running back in the first round where, look, the tape's awesome. The tape is really outstanding, but you have all those questions that I just mentioned. And then also factor in that he did not test well at the combine. And so all these questions, I think there's a good chance he falls a little bit. But with Christian McCaffrey, to me, he's the most fascinating of the three.
I agree with you. I like this kid. I really do.
Yeah. I could see him going top 10. I really could.
Wow.
Because of everything that he can do, that versatility.
Yep.
You know, I think he can be a featured back. You just have to kind of tweak your definition of what a featured back is, because he's not going to carry the ball 20 to 25 times a game, but he can touch the ball 20 times a game. You know, give him 13, 14 carries, give him 8, 9 targets. You know, put him in the slot, motion him out of the backfield. He can be a chess piece for your offense where he can stress the defense in different ways. And I think for a lot of these teams, the moment Christian McCaffrey is drafted, he might be the best route runner on that team. That's how good he is as a pass catcher.
Wow.
So I think Christian McCaffrey could go 8 to Carolina. I think that's a possibility. 14 to Philadelphia. And I think that's the biggest thing with McCaffrey is just I hope he goes to a situation, an offense that understands how to use him. You know, we know the Patriots, they've shown they can use a talent like that, the versatility, but obviously he's not going to New England. But I think Philadelphia 14, the Eagles and Coach Peterson,
I love that.
I think
fit.
He would understand. Carson Wentz, I think, you know, you have a young quarterback, he likes to dump it off. I think that makes a lot of sense. And look, if I'm the Cowboys, if I'm the Redskins, if I'm the Giants, I do not want to see McCaffrey go 14 to the Eagles.
Imagine the Eagles splitting out Sproles and McCaffrey in the same backfield, motion them out of the backfield and put them out wide on linebackers. Yeah. Good luck.
But see, the Eagles, it fits that mold because that's
the
what
West
they
Coast,
do with Sproles.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the other thing, too, you know, you pop him in there for some punt returns, some kickoff returns, maybe get him four or five more touches in there. I mean, an all-around athlete. I think the guy can play flat out, just is amazing to me. So that's interesting. But thanks for your comments on the running back stuff. John, did you have something else?
Yeah. I want to ask you about Njoku Dane. What's your feel here? Is he going to be on the board, do you think, when the Giants get to 23? And who do you think has the best chance of picking him before the Giants get on the clock?
I'd say it's probably 50-50. I think he's such a versatile talent that there's a great shot he's off the board in the top 20. You look at 18 with Tennessee, they've done a lot of work on him. You know, they're looking for some type of playmaker that they can develop with Marcus Mariota. And if the right receiver, you know, if they want Corey Davis or Mike Williams or whoever, the right receiver isn't there, I could see them going David Njoku and you know, kind of teaming him with Delanie Walker for a few years before Walker moves on and, you know, and Njoku's your star of the offense. Or at Denver, I think that's possible at 20 as well. So I could see him there available at 23. And, you know, if he's there, it would be interesting. If I don't think the Giants would go in that direction, but I think they should at least consider him. He should be on the short list. You know, a player that's 6'4", almost 250 pounds, you know, the way he moves, it's not fair. I mean, he ran 4.64 at the combine, and he improved with a 4.59 at the pro day. You know, the vertical, 40-inch vert, the broad jump, over 11 feet, just amazing. And so he's really – what he is now is not why you're drafting him. You're drafting him for what he can be down the line. You know, he's only 20 years old. You really project him with that athleticism to grow and get better and better, and I think he will. You know, he has all the makings to be an impact player at the NFL level. But, you know, kind of going back to what we're talking about, the Giants maybe looking for more of a player that can help right away. That's why I think maybe they wouldn't go in that direction. But I tell you what, I would love to see the Giants maybe package a pick and go up to get O.J. Howard. I think that'd be the perfect fit for this offense. You know, a plug-and-play guy who can line up in line,
no objection,
help out
there
as a blocker, but then also what he can do as a receiver and as a pass catcher down the field. That would be a lot of fun to watch for the Giants.
How far up do you think they'd have to move to get him?
I think ahead of the Browns at 12.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think
that's a lot.
You'd have to get up to 11, which would be tough. You know, it would have to involve your second rounder and then another pick to move up that high. You know, hopefully you don't have to sacrifice next year's one. You don't want to do that for a tight end. But, you know, if it's something that maybe even if you get – if you really want O.J. Howard, I think you have to get up to 11. Now, if somehow he gets past 12 to Cleveland, then, you know, maybe it becomes a lot more realistic. But – I think that's more of a pipe dream at this point. You really like to see.
It would be very unprecedented for the Giants to do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just be.
Exactly.
I mean, we all were pretty enamored. At least I was last year when the Giants moved up to get Landon Collins in the first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
To move up to get something like that. So. But you never know. You never know. But never say never. But it's always going to be. I love draft day, especially the first day. I think especially how much we analyzed all of this going into it, and then realize how much we really don't know about things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dane, I have two more quickies for you. We know edge rusher and cornerback are the strength of the draft. Who do you think will be the best two players at those positions that could be on the board for the Giants in the first or second round that you think might drop a little bit, but you particularly like in this class?
Well, pass rusher, you know, there's so many different flavors of pass rush that you could look at. You know, I really like T.J. Watt. You know, I do. And I think you look at this player, and he was a tight end when he went to Wisconsin. And then he doesn't move to defense until 2015, didn't start until 2016. And last year, his first year really in that role, 11 and a half sacks, just really impressive from just a technique standpoint. He's so new to the position, but the way he uses his hands to snatch, push, pull, disengage, and find the ball, that motor, the speed, and then he tested off the chart. T.J. Watt, I think he's going to come off the board somewhere in the 20s and be an impact pass rusher. The Cowboys would love for him to be there at 28. I don't know if he's going to last that long. Then also a player who, you know, we talk about maybe some risers, Tyus Bowser from Houston, a player who, when you watch him at Houston, you get really frustrated because he's in that 3-4 scheme. He wasn't asked to just pin his ears back and rush as an outside linebacker. They dropped him a lot. They put him in the flat. You wondered why they're keeping this Ferrari in the garage like they did. But that's Tyus Bowser, he's 6'3", 247, and he's a 4'6 athlete. A great 10-yard split, the explosion numbers, the change of direction skills. It's all there. I think Tyus Bowser, NFL teams are looking at this guy and saying, listen, he can be an impact pass rusher if we draft him. So I think Bowser's going to be off the board somewhere in the 20s as well, and that's something that I don't think we initially thought maybe a couple months ago. And then at corner, again, kind of like the pass rushers, different flavors depending on what type of coverages you want to run, you know, with press and zone and, you know, these different schemes. You know, Marshawn Lattimore is going to be the first corner, somewhere top 10. And then I think corners 2 and 10, you know, the order between 2 and 10 are just – they're all over the map.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's depending on what do you value in your corners. You know, Marlon Humphrey from Alabama, there's a big question about him down the field. You know, can he get his head turned? Can he locate? Can he make a play on the ball? But when you have guys that are north of 6 foot, you know, run 4.4s, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of Eli Apple, just those traits that you can develop, young guys that you can develop. to me, that's Marlon Humphrey. Then Tre'Davious White, he's the four-year starter in the SEC. Ball skills, production, a lot to like there. So I think these corners, there's a lot of different, depending on what kind of corner you want, going different directions here. And so I think we're going to see that run on corners happen somewhere in that late first, early second round. We're going to see a lot of corners come off the board.
I watched two or three games of Cunningham and Jared Davis yesterday, trying to figure out which guy's a better fit. And I got to tell you, I mean, I have them like graded pretty closely to one another. Which guy do you like more? Which guy do you think would be a better fit for the Giants defense?
If you tell me that Jared Davis will average, say, 14 to 15 starts, every year over his rookie contract, then I would say Jared Davis, with everything that he brings to the field. Durability is my biggest worry there with Davis. There's not a passive bone in his body, but unfortunately, several of those bones are bruised or sprained, there's just so much going on with him medically that, the greatest predictor of future injuries is past injuries, and that worries me. With Jared Davis, but just from an on-field standpoint, what I see on film, he's so much fun to watch. I think he'd be, the physical traits, the mental traits, they're all there. I think he could be a Sam linebacker. He could play the mic. He could do some different things. Zach Cunningham, on the other hand, you watch, depending on what games you watch, you're going to be enamored with different things. You watch the Georgia game, and that was a clinic of how to take on blocks, disengage, slow to the ball, make stops before the runner can get to the sticks. Cunningham's kind of that lanky guy where he uses that length to his advantage. Sometimes it'll work against him when he's changing directions or making tackles. But I have Zach Cunningham slightly, and it's very, very close ahead of Davis. But again, if the medicals were a lot better with Davis, I would have him ahead of Cunningham. I feel better about Cunningham being able to stay on the field and be healthy for my team.
You do a lot of work for DallasCowboys.com. What's your feel for them at 28? Better chance at a D-end or a corner?
D-end, and I think it's really because these pass rushers are going to come off the board quickly.
Yeah.
And if you don't get them, I don't think the pass rusher is going to be there that you want in the second round. And I think the emergence of Anthony Brown last year as a rookie has really allowed them to not only move on from Brandon Carr and Morris Claiborne, but they can focus on the pass rush in the first round. So, Charles Harris from Missouri, if he's there, T.J. Watt from Wisconsin, if he's available, and then Tyus Bowser, a guy we just talked about. I think those three would be on my short list for the Cowboys. Not sure in that order, but if one of those three are available, I would expect that to be the fifth.
All right, give me your prediction for the Giants at 23, Dane. We've been keeping track of them. What's yours?
Right, I'm gonna go with Ryan Ramczyk. Again, we talked about him, how the resume isn't extensive, but what he showed this year, the 14 game starter for Wisconsin, as long as the medicals come back okay, I think he instantly upgrades that offensive line, can play tackle, can play guard, gives you a little bit of position flex. So I'll say Ryan Ramczyk.
One more time, tell the folks how to get your draft guide.
Check out me on Twitter, DP Brugler. I have it pinned at the top. It's a link. It's an automatic PDF download. So as soon as you put in your information, there's a link. You click it, and you have it automatically right to your computer. Save it, and you'll have it for draft weekend. I promise there is not a better resource out there than this one.
Dane, great stuff. Appreciate the extra time.
Thank you, Dane.
And we'll talk to you after the draft. Yeah, pal?
Good stuff. Thank you.
All right. Enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have fun, man. Dane Brugler spending some time with us right here on Giants.com. Hope we didn't over-exceed our time there with Dane, but I wanted to get those last couple quick questions in for him.
Did you hear him? Mock draft. They start doing mock drafts in August.
Damn,
you think we have it bad.
Dude, they get clicks. And that's what I said a couple weeks ago. People talk about these mock drafts like they're religion. The reason they make these guys do them is not because the guys have all this information that they know who's picking who. They do them because that's what people want to click on.
Yeah.
That's what the fans want. So they give it to them.
They want to download it just like this. So you got to kill a tree to put that thing together. But it's all good stuff.
It's wonderful. Really, all right, so now we got three predictions so far from our last three guys.
Two offensive linemen?
Steve Palazzolo had Zach Cunningham, the linebacker.
Okay.
Dan Shanka yesterday had David Njoku, the tight end.
Oh, okay.
And Dane Brugler had Ryan Ramczyk.
Interesting. All right. So, we got two offense and one defense. Oh. I really hope Njoku's there. I just think he would be such a compliment to this offense, especially with Brandon Marshall and the receivers out there. I think that Eli would appreciate that too. He also would appreciate another lineman that would block well too.
Yeah, but I think I think Njoku's probably better tight end prospect than the tackles or offensive lineman prospects.
No question. You know, and to me, and I've always been saying this since the last 3 weeks, the quarterback thing seems to just really – it's bizarre to me how – I agree with you. I'm serious. I just don't – you know, all of a sudden all these guys become, you know, really, really good. And, you know, as far – I'm burning. I smell something burning. Smell that?
It is. It sounds like someone's making some toast or something like that. Dominic, what are you doing over there?
I'm burning on
you
the show.
You lighting it up?
Wow. But anyways, I just feel like the quarterback one has been very, very strange to me. I think Trubisky will be the first.
I agree. I think Trubisky will be
you
the first.
You agree that or you agree something's on fire?
No.
I'm serious.
I do not see any flames or smoke, so I think we're okay. Remember, they do cook in the building. Something could have happened in the vent system, Feagles. I wouldn't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
No, it's fine. I'm just, you know. Listen, the fire alarm goes off in this building enough, and it's pretty loud when it does. But.
Well, hopefully it doesn't go off while we're trying to finish a show for the next 25 minutes. But look, and like I said, I think Dane's right on the money with a lot of his stuff, and he really likes, you know, Dalvin Cook. But it appears, talking to the people that I talk to around the league, that Dalvin Cook is somebody that might very well be there. And I know one of our followers on Twitter will be very excited about this. He's a Florida State alum. He might be there for the Giants to pick at 23, but I'm not sure if the Giants will go there. I think they would consider it. I'm just not positive they'd go running back there. And he's really good. So,
yeah, well, I
mean, he is an every down back. He's a good player.
I was just going to say, he could. I see him as a true NFL running back.
Oh, absolutely.
He is. I saw him on some games on ESPN.
He's a monster.
It was ridiculous. And there are some off-the-field stuff, but, you know, I just think that, you know, these guys are so – everything is evaluated so much that the bottom line is that you just hope that the guy, when he gets here on campus or whoever it is going to be able to, if he has some past problems, that the team can believe that they can nip those things in the bud and be able to make them a high-character guy and a good football player. And it really, when you look at the earning potential of all these guys we're talking about, why are you going to screw it up? I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of money these guys are going to make to get drafted in the first round is just, why are you going to screw it up? Why? But we'll see.
All right, we can do draft, we can do schedule, or anything else you want to talk about at 201-939-4513. Thanks very much for holding on, folks, and being on the phone for us during that interview. I hope you enjoyed Dane Brugler. Again, you can go to his Twitter page, DP Brugler, and you can download his draft guide there.
Just real quickly,
yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how much you guys touched on this all week, but you know, just being the former player and you know, this time of the year, the off-season workout program has started.
Yes.
I do remember that that was an exciting time. It really was because, you know, you get your time away after the season is over, but as a football player, you start getting a little bit kind of, you know, pinned up a little. I'm ready to let's go, you know. So it's later than it used to be, really, really earlier. But I feel like now it's a time when the guys get together, they come back, they get the camaraderie going, you get a little excitement, you get to see a lot of the guys that were doing something when they were away from home, if you will. They come back and see what kind of shape they're in. I will tell you this, for the first week and a half, you are sore. I mean, sore. Going through this stuff that they're doing.
But how many of these guys do you think have been lifting already in preparation for this? Give me a percentage.
100%. 100%.
So you don't think anybody's showing up here for the first time like, I need to get started?
Nope.
Okay, that's good. Well, and that's the way it should be. But you know how some players are sometimes.
And again, is it a full-fledged the Giants send them a workout to get, you know, what they need to be doing before they get here.
Okay.
And then there's testing. So, you know, when you get here, you want to make sure that you're in somewhat of shape and somewhat of, you know.
So you don't pull something or do whatever.
Or you just want to, so it doesn't look like you've been sitting on your butt for 3 months, you know, because they are testing you. They'll test you. They test your flexibility. They test everything nowadays. So, and then you know what? That report goes right up to the coach and they're like, oh, hey, look at John Schmoke here. Well, he's 10 pounds overweight.
I had a bad hand. I couldn't work out.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I couldn't work out. I had a bad hand.
Well, you should have been here working out, John.
I can't. I got a bad hand.
But sorry, it's an exciting time around the building for not only for the players, but for the staff and everybody that's here. And it is kind of in your mind, the clock starts turning now, because once you get here for that off season workout, you know, you're getting closer to OTAs, mini camps, stuff like that. So
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the head.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we
go.
Charlie in Portland, Maine. Hi, Charlie.
Go.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. How y'all doing?
You sound very low energy today, Charlie. What's going on?
What's the matter? Is it snowing up
low
there
energy?
Or something?
You sound low energy.
I'm just laying back here just listening to you guys and listening to the gentleman you just had on. And so I just got some players that I think maybe we should go after.
What is in the background? Are you playing a video game or something? Is that like a? Are you on the lake? It sounds like a loon.
No,
what is that?
No, that was a phone call. That was another, I got another phone over there, but that's all right. I'm not answering.
Rocking so, multiple phones, Charlie, with the bat phone. I like it.
I have all these magazine people. They keep calling me for interviews, High Times and Hermit News, you know, things like that.
That sounds about right, actually.
the guys I'm thinking of is I like iPass. The guy, I think he's from Villanova, 6'7", 289 pounds, something like that.
Oh, the
the end.
Yeah, the kid from Villanova you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Tasso Napanga or something like that, right?
Yeah. I just call him iPass. It's easy. I think him. I like Garcia. I think we can get him, like, maybe later. And Gil Bryant said that this is the worst offensive line draft in, I don't know if he said in history, but it's pretty bad.
And, Charlie, this is a trend, too, man. They're not going to get much better. I mean, there are just not a lot of college programs out there that are developing offensive linemen that are going to work in NFL systems. It's just the way it is.
I know. So I just hope we don't reach for a lineman in the first round. I hope we get a game changer. And let me give you my take on Mixon. I know he's got off-field problems, but this dude can play. How about if we picked him, say he dropped a bit and we picked him, can't you put in the contract that if he has any issues again, on his, with women or whatever, his contract is null and void. And can't we say that if you come and play with the Giants, you have to go into therapy for anger management? And that way you're protecting yourself, but you're also protecting the player. You're trying to help him out in the fan base, saying, look, we're doing something to try to help this guy.
Charlie, that is a good question for Jeff Fiegels, who has signed many NFL contracts. Can those things go in there, Jeff? Because I honestly have no idea.
I would say a little bit of yes and a little bit of no. You got the Players Association that are going to object to a lot of that stuff.
Privacy issues, is that why?
Yeah. And I feel that, that's kind of the chance you're going to take on some of these. That's why they do so much due diligence on the character issues of these guys, because they got to make sure. Especially if you're a first round, second round, you got a lot of money invested in this pick. And as all across the league, these general managers, they got to be really good with their picks. It's just the way it works in this league, So,
right.
And I'm not just talking about
the thing is, he would, we would have the control, and the dude wants to play. He's not going to sit out. So if he's really straightened out, then he'd say, fine, I'll go to counseling. I'll do whatever I have to do. I want to play football. So to me, that's what I would do on somebody like him. If he drops, and that way I want game changers. I just don't want mediocre guys or guys that are, just going to be backups. We got to get a couple of two or three players in the first two or three rounds that are going to really make a difference on this team. That's why I like the idea of getting your tight end from Miami, because that guy is going to be a game changer. So, but we need, we need a left tackle. And now that Jerry Reese again thinks we only need one defensive tackle, we have to go out and get another defensive tackle, unless we bring somebody in. I'd love to bring in Richardson from the Jets, Like I say, JetBlue, man, we got to bring in some of these guys, Mangold, Clady, Richardson, and,
Richardson's not a free agent, though, Charlie. I mean, if you want Sheldon Richardson, you got to trade for him.
Trade.
Hey, Charlie, let me ask you a question.
Oh, no, time out. It's more than a fourth-round pick to get Sheldon Richardson, okay?
No, the Jets are saying it's down to a fourth round.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah. All right. Jeff, what was you going to say?
I was going to say, if you're on the clock right now, Charlie, the New York Giants select at number 23.
And Njoku's not there.
Njoku's not there?
Nope.
Not making it easy on you.
I like –
Hurry up.
I like – Okay, I would go with Peppers because I think he's a five-tool player. And I would
no wonder you're not
him,
a GM.
I think Spags would utilize him to his max.
Where, though? You got Landon Collins. He plays the same position. Come on.
No,
Jordan.
He doesn't play the same
position.
Yeah, he does. And it's not the exact, exactly the same. Yeah. I mean, well, I want freaks on our team. You know, there's a guy out there like Skipper. He's 6'10", 320 or something. Offensive lineman. Put him in there. You know, that's the kind of dudes I want. If there's anybody out there with six fingers, bring them in. we need some freaks so the other teams will go, my God, where did they get these guys? Circus or something?
Charlie.
You know, we need to scare them.
The Giants are playing football on Sundays. They're not opening up an attraction down by Coney Island on the boardwalk.
You're a special human being. I'll tell you that.
Charlie, thanks for the call, buddy.
Okay,
bye,
guys.
Charlie. Have a good
weekend. Appreciate it. You saw he was taking
He wants a lineman with six fingers.
Yeah, and that's like 6'11". You took him for a loop when you asked him who you would pick, though, if Njoku wasn't there. He didn't have a great answer. And I'll be honest with you. I would not take Jabril Peppers.
No, I think that there's a team that obviously will, but I think that he has to be, you know, in a fit for what they want him to do specifically.
Correct. Look, I think there's a spot for him in the league where he can play and be successful. I just don't. Fits here because of Landon Collins. Like you said, they're not the same guy, but they're going to play that same strong safety floating position, you know?
And really, when you think that's a guy that's really fallen from grace, I mean, you think about maybe 6 months ago, Jabril Peppers was going to be a surefire first-round draft pick, and now it's, you know, I don't even see his name in here.
Well, Jim Harbaugh didn't do him any favors. You know, he doesn't really have a position. He played linebacker at 210 pounds, whatever the heck he was.
He played everywhere.
So,
yeah.
I think he'll sneak into the last five picks of the first round.
You do?
I think. Wow. Either that or he'll be in the first five picks of the second round. I think he'll be somewhere between 25 and 35. I think he'll be in that area.
Yeah,
that'd be my guess.
One of these guys has Jabril going to the Dolphins at 22.
Or 27 and 37. Somewhere in that area. That's where I would say he'd probably slide it.
I'll tell you, when you're talking about Christian McCaffrey, I was watching some tape on him the other day, and I'll tell you what, he can get up and down. I mean, he's not just you're thinking, oh, yeah, you know, he's a return guy. He's outside. He catches the ball.
He isn't Danny Woodhead. He's not Danny Woodhead.
No,
he's better than
that. No, he is way better. I mean, he's a north-south guy, and he
can break tackles. He's strong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he tested off the charts.
Exactly. And you know what? You know he's a good kid. He has no problems whatsoever. I think if the if he's there, he won't be there.
It'd be nice, but he won't be.
Yeah, he will not be.
And
there.
I think Dane hit it on the head.
Yeah.
To me, the best place for him to wind up is Philadelphia.
Oh,
in a West Coast offense, the way they use him as a receiver.
Where's Philly in that?
Were they 14?
Yeah, that's probably right around the number, right?
I mean, he might sneak ahead of that. I mean, let's see who's picking ahead of them. Let's see who could pick them.
Okay.
You want to go through these teams. The Browns and the Niners, not going to pick them that early. The Bears, I don't think, will pick them that early. I think the Jaguars are more than likely to pick a power back. See, Coughlin likes big guys. He likes big, powerful guys. That's why I don't think he's going to pick a McCaffrey, as good as he is. Tennessee, they already have DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, so they're not going to go there. I would not put it out of the realm of possibility for the Jets to pick him because they could use him in so many different ways, and they frankly have so little talent on the team right now, they would really be able to use him. The Chargers know they have Melvin Gordon, and they already have Danny Woodhead, who's going to come back from that injury. You know, he said the Panthers. I think that's an interesting pick there because they don't really have any quick inside receivers. They have a lot of big guys outside, and then he could play running back with Jonathan Stewart and play wide receiver. So I think the Panthers at 8 are a real possibility.
Yeah.
Bengals at 8-9, Giovanni Bernard's coming back from injury. I think Leonard Fournette's a better possibility there if he's still on the board than, say, a Christian McCaffrey. The Bills have LeSean McCoy. I don't see that happening at 10. The Saints, I think they're going to try to improve their defense. I don't think they're looking to pick an offensive player, though. Imagine Christian McCaffrey in that Saints offense. God help the NFC South if that ever happened. The Browns, I think he's a possibility for the Browns at 12 if he's there.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, they need as many weapons as they can get.
Unless the Browns trade that pick to move up. They do something
to try to get Trubisky?
Yeah.
That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals aren't going to pick him with David Johnson there. So
no.
I think there are about three teams, maybe four, could pick him before Philadelphia. And I think the Panthers is probably the most likely one of that group.
Yeah.
You agree?
I agree. I agree with that one.
You know, the Redskins wouldn't be a bad spot for him either. They lost a lot of receivers in the offseason. I'm not a full believer in the running back they have in their roster. I don't remember the name of the kid. But you know the kid I'm talking about who came up late, the long hair, and he kind of took over late in the year.
Steven,
I don't remember the kid's name. But he was a late-round pick 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But
Jones, wasn't it? Is his name Jones?
Jones was a kid that lost his job, I'm not mistaken. But I'll look it up. Let's get to our next call in the meantime. Hudson in Brooklyn. He's on Big Blue Kickoff next. How are you doing, Hudson?
Hi, Hudson.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Listen, I just wanted to, first of all, throw a little cold water on things you were saying about possibly trading up for O.J. Howard. I think that's ridiculous only because...
Oh, we didn't say that. We didn't say that.
Maybe you guys didn't, but you agreed with him. You said you guys wouldn't happening.
No, Hudson, we said we like O.J. Howard as a player, and I think if you're moving up one or two spots to go there to pick him, I wouldn't have a huge issue with it. Generally, I'm against moving up in the draft in theory, but I would never try to move up 10 or 12 spots for him because then you're trading your second-round pick, right. And in a deep draft, I would never want to do that.
Okay. So I'll just give you guys my opinion of what we should be doing in the draft.
Sure.
I think I'll start from 3-1 or
Robert
maybe 4-1. For the fourth round, I think we should try to pick up Connor, the running back from Pittsburgh. That'll be a great pickup for us.
Okay. And honestly,
I wouldn't mind picking him up either.
And honestly,
either one of those two.
And honestly,
earlier than that.
And honestly, I think you might be able to get Connor in the fifth round too.
Yeah, we previewed it the other day.
That would be great. That would be great. For the third round, I think we should go for Gerald Everett.
If he's there. I'm not sure if he's going to be there, but if he's there, I would be okay with that.
And if we had to take him second round, I would take that too, because I think he's important for us to get. We need that pass catching tight end.
Okay.
For the second round, I think we should try to get Antonio Garcia, the left tackle.
Now, just remember, he is not
blocking left tackle.
He is not going to be able to play right away, though. That's a kid you're going to have to try to build up strength-wise for a year before you put him in there.
Well, maybe in a run game, but I think he'd be able to challenge Eric Flowers. I think as of right now, he's a better pass blocker than Eric Flowers.
Now, Hudson, I don't disagree with you, but I saw him at the combine. That dude was built like Larry Donnell. He is slight. He is not a big guy.
He kind of looks like the tackle from Notre Dame last year, Stanley. Is he shaped like Stanley?
I think his frame's probably a little bit smaller than Stanley's.
Okay. Well, we're not just playing for this year anyway.
No, that's fair.
I think down the line, he definitely
could beef him up. Yeah,
that's okay. I'm fine with that.
The first pick, I think we should definitely go defense. Whether it be my first choice would be Hassan Reddick. Don't think he'll be there unless we get really lucky.
Agree.
If he's not there, then I would do either McDowell, Cunningham, or Gerard Davis.
Yeah.
If manna fell from heaven and somehow Reuben Foster fell to us because of drugs, failing the drug test, or a shoulder injury, I would love to have him as a first-round pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think Reuben Foster, without knowing, you know, there's a lot of off-the-field stuff and background stuff with him I know some teams are worried about. Putting that aside, just as a player, if he's there at 23, I think it's really hard to say no to that. And if I had to choose between Davis, Cunningham, or McDowell, I think Davis and Cunningham are both better players than McDowell is, so I would pick one of the two linebackers.
Well, McDowell, reason I would like him, he would fill in for Hankins right away, and he's the pass rusher we need. Now, I don't want to be fooled by how good the defense was last year. We didn't have a really good pass rush without Spags throwing up blitzes to get to the quarterback. Just rushing the four, we didn't have a good pass rush. And I think with McDowell there, he can penetrate up the middle and force the quarterback to the outside so they can run into either JPP or Vernon from the outside, but he would help collapse the pocket from the inside.
You know, Hudson, and one thing I've heard going around the league is that a lot of people think McDowell might be a big dropper. He might be a guy that might actually be there when the Giants pick in the second round. That's how much he might be falling on draft boards. People worry about his inconsistency, and people are worrying about his off-the-field stuff. So that is someone that a lot of people think could be a guy that drops this year, that, like you said, was originally considered to be a late first-round pick. So I don't know if I'd pick him in the first round, but if he's there in number two, I would certainly consider it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Hey,
for your time.
Hey, good call, Hudson. Excellent information. Good stuff. Appreciate it.
And every year there is those couple guys.
Yep.
You know, all of a sudden, do, do, Maybe remember Brady, the quarterback was supposed to. What was his name?
Aaron Rodgers.
Brady Quinn.
Oh, Brady Quinn. Yeah.
Remember they kept that poor guy. They kept showing him on tape. They kept showing him on TV, and he's over there at the table. Like, I know I got a hot looking girlfriend, but that's about it. I'm not even getting drafted. I'm supposed to be in the first round. Remember,
see,
they kept showing it. I mean, it's hilarious.
This is how NFL players look at the draft.
Yeah, no, I'm just – that's what he was saying. I mean, wow. Unbelievable. But I feel bad for those guys. I mean, a lot of them, that's why they don't go to the draft, because they don't want to be humiliated if they drop down.
And there are a couple guys they've invited that are probably going to be second-round picks.
Yeah.
And I guess I think they do that on purpose because they want some of the guys on night two when they're still televising it, trying to make it a big deal. They want some guys there in person,
sure,
which I get. Chidobe Awuzu from Colorado is a corner that is invited to the draft, and he's probably going to be at best a late first-round pick, more likely an early second-round pick. But, yeah, I mean, it stinks sitting there in that green room. But then again, when you get drafted, I don't think you care anymore. I think you're just happy to be drafted, and you're getting that nice contract, and you're set for a few years of your life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and some guys can – you know, I would be interested to see that how many Pro Bowl players come from the second and third round opposed to the first round. You know, I mean, I think the second and third round is, to me, you can find that they're almost the same players. I think the first round guys – you know, they deserve the first round because they're that good.
Yeah.
But I think the second and third, if you combined them together, I don't think there would be a whole lot of difference in those rounds.
No, and you can definitely find really good players. I mean, you have to pick the right guys. Here's the thing. To me, the difference between the second round and the first round, the guys in the first round might not turn out to be stars, but usually they'll at least be passable players. You love more guys in the second round that just are nothing, and they'll, you know, burn out in 4 or 5 years, and they'll be out of the league. You don't see that quite as often with first-round picks.
Right.
But I bet you if you look at it, you know, there are almost as many second-round picks end up becoming Pro Bowl players as there are in the first round.
I think there is. I really do. I think because it's just, you know, especially maybe a higher second-round pick, maybe the first 15 picks in the second round.
That's a good point.
You know, so around in there. But
fewer Hall of Famers, though. I think you'll get
– no,
you're not
going to
get those super-duper top-end guys. But
absolutely.
You'll get a lot of very good players in the second round, just not a lot of great, great players.
Yeah, but, and if you're one of those Hall of Fame first-round guys, I mean, you win in the first round, you have the skills, you test out to all what you're supposed to do. I think that – you know, where you earn your money from a general manager standpoint is in those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. Those are the where you got to – that's where you find some depth. You sign some diamonds in the rough, and that's where you rely on your scouting department to bring to you some guys that you may not have even heard of.
I mean, I agree.
You know, and it's a hard sell. Hey, you know, we're drafting, and I'm a scout in the room and say, listen, I really like this guy. And you're sitting there going, are we really going to spend a fourth round draft pick on this guy? You know, and that's why I said I'd love to be in the war room just to be how they talk about the players.
You know? I agree. That can make you a great general manager, but I think in order to be a good NFL general manager, you got to find starters in rounds two and round three. And that's harder than it seems because, like I said, there's a lot of guys in the second and third round that just don't make it, and they're nothing in their NFL careers. You got to avoid those guys at all costs because once you go through a few drafts where you get nothing out of your second and third round picks, your team's going to be a barren mess.
What do you think the easiest position is to find that you're going to get that true starter out of the first and second round?
Interior offensive and defensive linemen, especially interior offensive linemen. I think guard and center play probably translates fairly well from college to pros, even with the spread offense. You know, your big guys, you're playing in a small area.
Yeah.
You got to be strong. You don't need a specific body type. I think I'm not going to use the word easy, but I think those are probably two of the easier positions to project.
I would tend to agree with the lineman because it's probably the most consistent position you're going to get from college to pro.
And you got running back. I don't think running back's that hard to project. I think if you're a really good
runner,
it's just
hard to project how long they're going to play.
Well, that's true. No, that's true.
That is,
but I think figuring out skill set, though, isn't that difficult.
Yeah. Well, and it depends. You look at 2 years ago, the running back position in the first round was non-existent.
Right.
And for some reason, now it's coming back into play again.
Well, I can give you the reason. It's the guy that got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys last year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because he had
a small impact on that team, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit, right. If you had a good offensive line
like
they did.
That also helps, absolutely. Dino in Jersey, he's going to wrap us up today. Hey, Dino, thanks for calling in, pal.
Hi, Dino.
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. Thank you for the great years.
You're welcome, man. No problem. What's going on?
Before I get into the draft, I just want to go over something real, real quick. The Giants' schedule, I don't agree with opening the season again in Dallas. 5 out of 6 years.
None of us do.
3 out of 4, hasn't it?
Dino, we're all on the same page, my friend.
Like, why not come to MetLife? Like, But and the other thing, our four primetime games, we only have one at home. We should have split that at least.
And, Dino, one other thing, by the way, I think Giant fans don't like home primetime games.
They
I think
don't.
Most Giant fans are probably happy about that. But remember this thing playing at Dallas. At the same time, the Giants have finished their seasons at home in their final game of the year, you know, I think something like 7 out of the last 8 years. So even though you're starting the year on the road, you've at least been able to finish your season at home in what is often a, you know, make or break type of playoff game.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. All right. Now let me get into the draft real quick.
Yes, sir.
The reporter you guys were talking to just a few minutes ago.
Yep.
I would not want to take Ramczyk on the first pick. None of these tackles, actually. I heard a lot about Ramczyk that they don't really know what the hype is about him, that, you know, he had injuries like his hip surgery, and plus there were a couple reporters were saying that he's probably going to be a bust, like the lineman that the Eagles had. I forget what his name is, Dave something.
Well, Dino, I'll say this. The only thing that worries me about Ryan Ramczyk is his hip injury. If Ryan Ramczyk didn't have a bad hip, I would have no problem picking him at 23 based on how he played last year at tackle for Wisconsin. That's how good he was in games. But the hip worries me.
I'll give you a little insight. I talked to somebody the other day. You know who he is. I won't say who it is, but he was an offensive lineman. I asked him about that, and he had the same surgery as Ramczyk, and he said he'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still an injury.
Personally, I think there'll be a lot better players than if he fell to us to pick from, so I wouldn't take them. But
that's fair too.
Now, out of the first round pick, what I would love is obviously O.J. Howard. I mean, if he slips somewhere, we can trade up for him. That'd be great. But or Njoku. Now, if those two are gone, I would probably go linebacker, as the previous caller was alluding to. Like, I like Cunningham, I like Davis, but now with Foster probably going to slide because of his drug test. Even if he went to 18 or 19, dropped that low, I would definitely, me personally, trade up for Foster. He's going to be a heck of a player.
Well, let's see how far he drops. Remember, it wasn't necessarily from what I saw from Ian Rappaport's report on the NFL Network show this morning. It wasn't that he failed the test. It was that his test was, quote-unquote, diluted, whatever that means.
That means he drank about 10 gallons of water.
Because he was afraid what was in there, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing, defensive tackle-wise, I like McDowell. I like the kid from Florida,
Caleb Brantley, the tackle?
Yeah, Brantley, he's good. And there's another guy that Paul was alluding to yesterday on the show, and I kind of looked him up and watched some film on him and read about him. DeMarcus Walker from FSU. From Florida State, he played defensive end, but they said he can also play defensive tackle too.
Yeah, to me, DeMarcus Walker, Dino, real quick, I watched about 3 games of DeMarcus Walker in preparation for our Florida State interview a couple weeks ago. He did play 4-3 defensive end, but he moved inside the tackle on passing downs, and frankly, I think in a situational role, that 4-3 technique, defensive tackle in passing situations is his best position. I don't think he can play there all 3 downs. I think he'll be a good run stopper at end on first and second down. He'll pass rush from the inside well on 3rd down. I think you could probably wait till the 3rd round, though, if you want to pick him.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking to him as a first rounder.
Yeah.
I'm talking about these tackles I'm talking to. If we can pick them up in a 2nd or 3rd round, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Because Walker did have a lot of production. I mean, last year he had 16 sacks, 21.5 tackles for losses, and so on and so forth. But he actually jumped out. I mean, if we can grab him in the 3rd round, if we don't get the other D tackles in the 2nd round. And then another guy I would like is probably one of those running backs, like a Jamal Williams or a Samaje Perine.
Yep.
I would like them. I think those would be two. One of those guys would be a great pick for us.
The Giants went out and drafted a running back last year, in Perkins. I wouldn't be surprised if you see another one maybe later in the draft, just to get some competition going in there and see what happens too. So,
thank you, Dino. We got to run, pal. Appreciate
the call.
Right,
yeah, you're welcome. You know what I'm saying, John? I mean, you never know. I don't see it out of the question for them to go get a running back this year.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, look at the depth at that position. You got Shane Vereen, who's not your everyday guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want Perkins to be the running back, but then who do you got behind him? That's really, I mean,
you have Vereen, but Vereen's not going to be the carry the ball type of guy. So,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm going to look real quick here. When are you on next week, Jeff? Are you on Thursday or Friday?
I think Friday.
All right, so on next week, Friday, which means we're going to talk to you again until the Giants make their pick. So I need your prediction on who the Giants are going to pick at 23.
I knew you were going
to
ask.
I have to. If you're not going to be here until next Thursday, I got to get that name from you. And then next Friday, we'll get your reaction. Then we'll get your prediction for Friday night.
It's so hard.
I know. That's why I'm asking you. There's a reason we pay you the big bucks, Jeff.
Well, listen, I'm going to say that they are going to go with a offensive lineman.
Okay.
And I'll tell you who I want them to draft.
Who do you want them to draft?
I'll tell you exactly who I want them to draft. I just forgot to pronounce his name. The kid from Utah.
Garrett Bowles.
Garrett Bowles. I like him. I like him. I'm going offensive tackle. Okay, so whatever.
So really, no matter which one of those three tackles are there, are you going to pick them?
Yeah, exactly.
Even over your boy from the U?
No, but I don't think he'll be there.
Okay, so if Njoku's there, he's your pick. You just don't think he's going to be there.
He won't be there. Okay. Absolutely. And that's it. So that's my guy. I mean, that's the position. I don't have a particular one. I told you who I like. I like the Utah guy, but I don't think that, you know, that Njoku's not going to be there. Either is Howard. So there you go.
Thank you, Jeff.
Do I get yours or no? Because I'm not going
to
see you.
No, I'm not going to make my predictions next week. You'll have to listen to the show on Wednesday, and I will give you my prediction.
All right.
Or Thursday, actually.
You can write it down for me after the show.
So, folks, here we go. I'm going to give you a nice preview for what's coming next week, okay? Monday, we got Tony Pauline, who covers the draft for draftanalyst.com. He'll give us what he's hearing about the latest stuff that's going on with the NFL draft. On Tuesday, we're going to have Rob Rang from CBS Sports, the Sports Exchange, one of Dane Brugler's colleagues. He'll tell us what he's hearing the latest on. And then Matt Miller, our boy from Bleacher Report, who does a great job. He just comes out with his top 50 of each position over the past couple weeks on Bleacher Report. He'll be with us on Wednesday. He'll break down the latest he's hearing a day before the draft. And then on Thursday, we'll do our first ever Big Blue Kickoff mock draft. It'll be me, Dottino, and Meadow rotating teams picking 1 through 23. And then we'll give you the best guess. And, of course, we're all guessing, and Dave Dominic's really excited about it. And we'll kind of go through the first round and try to predict who's going to be on the board for the Giants. And I imagine Giant fans will be annoyed by no matter what we do. So we'll get a lot of hate mail, and that's always fun.
And by the way, John forgot to mention Friday. We'll be back to discuss the first round pick on Friday.
And preview who the Giants are going round two and
round two.
For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmalk. Thank you for joining us. For our producer, Dave Dominic, we'll see you on Monday. Enjoy your lovely weekend, and we'll back talking NFL draft with you on Monday afternoon. Have a good one, everybody.